his mouth, tasting freedom while he deaths been calling back.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey. What do I say? What am I looking yo, for yo. Here?
Yo yo, bro.
I think the right thing is, hey fucker.
Yes. Hi.
All right. What the hell are we talking about on this show? How do you want to go about this? Oh, can we?
I know. I love pizza. Let's talk about wrestling.
All right. Which where do you want to go with this? Obviously, as you can see, as anybody could tell, it's the usual excellent We Talk Wrestling prep that we've done before this show.
It is. Well, let's talk about the big story of the week, the TNA and WWE crossover that they're doing.
Hmm.
It started this week with Jerry Lawler setting the tone for the crossover, saying that I believe it was Cody Rhodes had a Tito Ortiz-like right hand.
Yes, he said that. I thought that was the weirdest damn thing. I had to rewind it a couple times. I'm like, did he say Tito Ortiz?
I did, too. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he means David Ortiz, the baseball player, because he said he has a swing like Tito Ortiz. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he means David Ortiz.
Yeah.
But I rewound it, too. I'm like, yeah, he said Chico Ortiz.
I know.
But yeah.
TNA,
so anyway.
TNA would never reference
no.
WWE.
That would be wrong.
Yeah.
Let's start it off, I guess, with the we'll start off at the beginning of the week, I guess, with Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
What did you think of Monday Night Raw?
Honestly, it's one of those shows that nothing was bad, but it just kind of felt boring and too long. And we always talk about 3 hours being too damn long, and it was. And that was evident both in the ratings and how people tuned out in the third hour. Also in the live crowd. Like, that live crowd is pretty hot. You know, that opening segment, Orton and HBK, this is a pretty hot crowd.
Yeah.
And by the time Daniel Bryan comes out, and we talked about how they turned him, taken him from a megastar to a superstar, and at some point we might even take a deeper look into it than we did last show. You know, more time on that and on Punk individually for it. But that's the least amount of crowd reaction I've heard for a Daniel Bryan match in the longest time. The crowd was practically dead. Almost the same reaction for it as it was for the Brie Bella match. And which makes me wonder, I'm not sure the Brie Bella relationship is actually doing him any favors.
Oh, I know it. At this point, it's not doing him any favors. At this point, that angle with Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan and him closing the
I read it in the spoilers, and I'm immediately thinking, you know, main event, Savage and Elizabeth and Hogan. And I'm immediately thinking that, and I'm thinking it's going to be good. And then I see it, and I'm like, oh.
Instead, what you got was Hunter going to Orton's house.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just garbage.
Yeah.
And this main event, I mean, when you open the show with Shawn Michaels,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, that's, you know, he's fucking Shawn Michaels.
Yes, he is.
I mean, it's going to be good because it's Shawn Michaels. And I mean, he made some good points. He basically rehashed what he said last week.
Yeah.
Made some good points of being in St. Louis, you know, the place of the first Hell in the Cell.
Yes.
Which as soon as he said it, I went, oh shit, yeah, it was. Like, I wasn't thinking that ahead of time, right? And Randy Orton comes out and he's like, nobody knows the people of St. Louis suck.
Well, I said aren't very bright was his exact.
Yeah, they're not very bright. And I laughed my ass off.
Yeah.
And actually that's why they got quiet in hour three, because it took them that long to go, hey,
yes. Not very. Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. Their elevator doesn't go to the top of the arch. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's broken, isn't it?
Is it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. They didn't know. Oh, they didn't know? Mm. But yeah, and you had that. And then I'm trying to think of what else was good. oh, I'm talking about. Then they showed this John Cena video.
Oh, yes. They're well done, though, the way they've edited them together. As always with WWE and its video packages, even though this was a different type of, like, it looked like it was phoned from an iPhone or something.
Like touts.
Yeah, something like that. Even though it was something like that, like the cropping was weird. Still, they do such a good job putting these together.
Well, the thing that made me giggle about it was that, like, he made these, and he's like, it's, you know, it's October the 3rd. It's September the 20th, right?
Yeah, fans.
Nobody saw these.
No, I know.
So if he did,
so you would have thought if he's touting them out, somebody would have seen them, right?
Well, I was going to say, that's what made me think they were touts.
Good point.
Like, it's very hard for me to believe that this actually got, you know, out there.
Yeah.
And so, like, that made me think from the whole get-go that this, I don't want to say the surgery was a work, but, you know, the recovery time, again, may have been greatly exaggerated. I don't know how hard it would be to be like, wrap his fucking arm. Well, you know, it's like a movie thing, right?
Yeah.
Wrap his arm in this massive cast so we can get a picture of it.
The truth is that we saw his elbow right before SummerSlam.
Right.
And it was fucked. It was the size of a football. It was incredible. That said, I don't know enough about surgery to be able to quantify that it's any more than needing to be drained.
That's what I was thinking. Is it drainable fluid? I mean, who knows? Yeah. I mean, maybe the injury, again, is working.
Drainable fluid, a week off, and it's good to go.
But the thing that hit me with this video, okay, is that in his first video when he's just doing that light bench press thing where he's just tweaking the elbow, like, his neck, his Stack of Dimes neck compared to what it was a week later, I was just like, fuck off, you're not on anything. Like, and I even tweeted this.
I've never said that I believed he was clean. And there's been a lot of people back and forth going, oh, he's such a freak, and I've been around him all these years, and oh, I've known him since he's young, and he's just got, and I've always said, bullshit, it's just, people don't look like that. You look at the guys who were like the greatest bodybuilders of all time before steroids, and their bodies look tremendous. Nothing like his.
No, but they have, and that's what he said, oh, they have genetics. Well, yeah, I mean, Ken Anderson was on a shitload of stuff, and he didn't have the right genetics, so it didn't make him jacked like he does for a Batista or a Hogan or a Warrior or a Cena. And that's just what it is. Yes, it's good genetics, but all genetics does is give you the base, and it's the steroids that adds all the shit. And I gotta tell you, watching that, and it's like, I said that on Twitter. I tweeted that I said, I am watching the Cena videos, or as I call it, the video we will all point to when he dies of an enlarged heart.
Yeah. I know you can say that the bodybuilders in the old days, they did not have the protein shakes and the different things that they have nowadays. That's only going to go so far. Not like this. I mean, it's really ridiculous.
And oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And it always has been. He's not clean. I've never believed the man is clean. And you know what?
No.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, human growth hormone, but maybe human growth hormone is healthier than steroids, because we haven't heard a lot of people dying of enlarged hearts. But then again, it is called an enlarged heart and human growth.
Well, that's just it. It grows your whole thing. And then again, the fact right now is that this is like people dying of steroids from the 80s.
Yeah.
Right? How long did that take? You know what I mean? It took 15 years before they were kicking.
Yeah.
So these guys now, you know, if it's better in terms of that stuff, well, maybe it takes them 10 years. And maybe, you know, but I mean,
well,
but
Eddie
like,
Guerrero
maybe
was,
it takes 20.
Eddie Guerrero was, what, 37, 38?
Yeah.
Okay. And John Cena is 35, is he?
Yeah, I believe he's 35, 36, okay.
You know, I mean, Hunter's 42, 43, whatever. You know, I mean, Chris Benoit was 41, and we heard about how large his heart was and how he might not even have lived much longer.
Loved his family.
If there hadn't been that incident.
Had a big heart. Kindest guy you'd ever meet, had a big heart.
Like the Grinch. And
Who's a Grinch on HGH?
I wish my dog would stop fucking dancing around here and making all that noise. Do you hear that?
Oh, yeah. Is that your dog?
Yeah, she's chasing her tail. She's like 9 years old. At what point in time do you stop being playful? Really, I'm trying to record a podcast. Be considerate, bitch.
Playful or retarded?
She's that, too.
Yeah. She's playfully retarded.
She's chewing her leg.
Seriously, though, I mean, just let the Asian hooker out.
On tire?
Yeah.
But he's only 13. He can't make it out there alone.
That's true. Yeah. Make her go after something.
throw a toy and maybe... No, she's going to bring it back to me. That'll fuck it up. All right.
You have a retriever.
I know. But she usually hopes that I chase her because she's not very bright.
That's true. Well...
Anyways, we are way off topic.
Yeah, now that we got over the performance enhancing Cena's, we'll move on to.
I just want to say when you talk about the performing enhancing Cena's before we go any further. Oh, yeah. Maybe what I should throw her. Maybe I should the thing with the squeaky toy. Yeah. That was wise.
Yes.
That was the best decision I could have made.
Yes.
I just want to say, when you talk about the performance enhancing, whatever Brie Bella is doing to be so skinny also isn't healthy.
No.
And I don't know if it's just regurgitating the vegan food she's eating or she's on something. Most of these women are on something too.
Yeah, like diuretics or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, it's not healthy either. In fact, I was watching this. I'm like, she's there and she's next to AJ. And if there's a crack in the floor on the way to the match, so we're not going to get it because one of them will fall through. I can't tell which one of them is more disgustingly skinny.
I know.
Disgustingly skinny between the two of them because they're both like 12 pounds.
And think of what – and that's 12 pounds on TV.
Yes.
Which means they're really three.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like that's, I mean, we saw AJ, we've seen AJ a couple times
in person. Yeah, she's gross in person.
Yeah.
It looks better on TV, but I can only imagine what Brie looks like that in person. Too in person, right?
Yeah.
And she looks, it doesn't look good.
So. No, it's not a good look. Well,
can you hear that now? She's chewing.
Oh, good. Well, that's quieter at least. If we talk, it'll just talk over it. All right, good.
All right.
But I'm just trying to think of what else I saw on after the performance enhancing Cena's on Raw that I mean it ended really strong. I thought that the Rhodes boys beating the Shield I thought was the end of the match and the Big Show coming out.
The crowd came alive by the end of the match.
Yeah,
was the thing. By the time that the crowd was sensing, hey, we might see a title change, they were into it. They weren't into it at the beginning.
I enjoyed that, and they had every right to because the match built really well.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And much like I was talking shit about the Rhodes family beating the Wyatt family on SmackDown, and while I still don't think that was the right move, the way they did it was the same thing. It was the main event of the show. And so by the end, the crowd was actually into it, and they kind of got a banana peel win. You know, slip on a banana peel win, but it's a good match. And I'm like, it's amazing how you can get people to react to something like the tag titles and tag teams if you make sure that the people are protected who have the title for a long time and treat it like it's important. It's amazing.
Well, and
how fucking about that? You know, Jim Ross would think that too.
Weird.
We'll get
weird.
There.
Yeah, we'll get there. But I think the thing is with the slip on the banana peel, the other thing to me with that was Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy that doesn't sell anything and sits in his rocking chair and just is very stoic, it got to him that they lost, and he treated it like a big deal, and it became a big deal that they lost, and the announcers, you know, pointed out that this was the first time that they had lost. But it also gets to Hunter. He's got the directive to refocus on tag teams.
He got the directive or somebody – Or he made the directive.
Hunter has sent out the directive to refocus on tag teams. Okay. He laid out a plan that's first to get some teams ready in NXT before bringing them onto the main roster.
Which they have not done so much, but they're working on it.
They're working. I mean, the Wyatts have come up. The Shield have come up.
Shield wasn't a team before that.
That's true, actually. That's true. But they, yeah, that's right. But they're
still continuing to drive the Ascension. They gave, what was it, the Legionnaires is the new.
Yeah, but they've already broken up because Rusev is now. Yeah, Alexander Rusev is out of the Legionnaires. He has a chick with him now.
Oh.
Yeah. But.
He has potential, by the way. He's legitimately, arguably one of the 10 strongest men to ever live. Like, he's up there with the Mark Henrys and, guys. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it may not be a gimmicked board.
Not be a gimmicked board, no.
But he's going to say that he also wants to get some guys, on NXT. He also wants to take some talented guys in the main roster who they recognize are underutilized, like Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel.
Okay.
And try to get them going as a team. So
we've always said this. We've always said that the best way to get guys over and to get them exposure is to have four of them in a match instead of two. And we also talked in the past how the two times the company was at its hottest and making the most money in the mid-80s, 80 through 89, 90, in that range. Yeah. And, the Attitude Era, both times had a really hot tag team division.
Well, you take two underutilized guys, put them together as a team. I mean, I got four words for you. Oh, you didn't know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's
big
it,
stars.
Right? Yeah, and I mean, you've got guys like, hell, this is where you could take a guy like a Zack Ryder. You could put now, at this point now, you could redo the Major Brothers, the Edgeheads, with Hawkins and Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now, especially because of Zack Ryder, but they're that next level. The other guys in developmental are Enzo Amore and Big Cass, who I said were annoying rats. I think at one point. I just watched NXT again last week, and they have grown on me.
I've always liked Enzo. I mean, you compared him to Eddie, and I'm like, he's Italian. I never thought he was anything like Eddie. He's a comedy character. I mean, he's a pure comedy character, but he's an entertaining, charismatic comedy character.
And
I don't like Cass. I don't like...
I thought Big Cass going to the ring, him and Enzo going to the ring and just cutting a promo wise, there's this 7 foot or whatever they're going to bill as, 7 foot guy, whatever he actually is. But with charisma that can cut a promo.
I don't like his promos. That's the problem. I think his promos, I don't know if his Italian accent is fake,
it totally is.
It sounds bad. I think he looks to me like he's practiced lines and he's trying to remember them. I don't think he's much of a promo.
See,
I don't like
him.
I like Enzo. He's a natural.
I agreed with you.
Didn't see last night's show.
See, the last 2 weeks, Kaz going to the ring, I thought was good.
He's better going. He was better going to the ring last week than he was when he's in the back.
And 2 weeks ago when he was in the back and Enzo kept trying to interrupt him.
I didn't like
that. He's like, stop it. And this every time he went, stop it. That made me laugh.
That's a good
no way...
gimmick. It's just unfortunate it's with a guy who can't cut a promo to me.
But it's a tag team gimmick too, right? That's what I'm saying is that it's also a tag team, right? So you've got another one, another tag team down there. And when I don't know what the return time is on what was the guy that was teaming with Adrian Neville, Pac. There was another. They were the They even had a name, and they were going to be the NXT champions tag champions that they pushed, and then he got hurt, and then they added Corey Graves, who then turned heel and will be in developmental forever. But it's
did Corey Graves turn now that he's lost the title?
He's a heel now. Yeah, Corey Graves turned heel.
Before they became a team. In fact, he kind of turned to feud with the, feuded with the Wyatt family, and his turn came out of nowhere. There wasn't any storyline behind it or anything like that. But the same thing, though, they are. I'm just looking here to see Neville and Gray. Who was that? Gray?
No.
Oliver Gray.
Oliver Gray, that's it. Yeah, what were they called? British Ambition.
Something like that, yeah, because they're both from...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're both from Britainland.
Yeah, that Britainland.
But, so if he comes back, then you got that. I mean, you got Evan Bourne sitting around.
Yeah, they defeated the Wyatts in the They defeated the Wyatts in the
finals. Yeah, but yep. I mean, you got Evan Bourne kicking around somewhere. Yep. I mean, a tag team's a good place. You got R-Truth. I mean, you've got a lot of these kind of.
Well, my favorite act right now, and I mean, when I'm watching Raw, you say, what do you like? I loved watching the Real Americans against Clay and Tenzai.
Yeah,
not that it was a great match, but I love these two. These two come out. It's like I was watching that video from Cena, and he's going to get booed. And, you know, I'm wondering what's going to happen when – I'll get there in a second. But I'm watching – they show the Goldberg video, right? I'm like, Goldberg is the complete opposite personality of John Cena and a much bigger star.
Yeah.
You know, like everything – like he never lost, and if he did, it pissed him off. And,
yeah.
You know, it was he acted like this was important and serious and real, and he came to the ring. And I'm like, he's missing.
He also pretended it was real in the back.
Well, to some degree. But then again, so did...
No, not to some degree.
To a lot of degree, but you know what?
He was a 12-year-old kid when he was a big star. He's grown up a lot since then, but he's a fucking 12-year-old kid.
Whatever. So was Bruiser Brody, and you know? So who cares? The point is that he is what they're missing. And then the Real Americas come out, and they just run to the ring, and they kick ass. You know, both of them are very intense. They're not. Yeah. There's no bullshit. They say we the people. The crowd chants it. They're trying to get the crowd to stop, but then they're not. I'm like, I think these guys are gonna make a great babyface team. I think you turn them babyface, have them as a babyface team, have them take on. I don't know. Like you talk about tag teams. I think when this is all said and done, I think you go Ryback and Axel as a team when they're done with Punk.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I would think Real Americas as the babyfaces versus Axel and Ryback with Heyman for the tag titles would be a great feud, and then eventually. You have Coulter Coulter and yeah, but you would have that dueling promos too, right?
Yeah.
Coulter versus Heyman, which would be great. But no, I was thinking, what's his name?
The Bull?
No, the fucking no. I don't give a fuck about those little fucks.
The Mexicans?
Real Americans. Who are they? Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger turns on Cesaro. Is what
I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were saying...
See, Jack Swagger's a baby face. I've been waiting for this for a while.
You talked about Goldberg. Uh-huh. And actually, it's funny you mentioned that because when I was watching Raw and I saw them against there... you're right. They were very intense. And they were kicking ass. They have been for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, huh?
And I was trying to figure it out.
They should go over on LMAP. That has no upside.
They actually remind me of the Steiner brothers.
Actually, that's a good... And you know what? They're showing tag team maneuvers together now.
Yeah.
And you're right. They're a lot like the Steiner brothers. And the crowd is they play to the crowd before they do the swing. The crowd got into it. Like all of it is – it's an act that's working. And all it is a team. Both guys can work. They've got together. They're winning. Yeah. And they act like they give a fuck.
And remember when they had –
How hard is that?
They're actually coming up because he's hurt now. Remember they had those 1-800 fella – commercials, and then Sheamus got hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Dory, they've edited them. I've seen the commercial. It's trying to get a move over and need it fucked up. Call 1-800-TENZAI. As soon as he only got him around for three swings, I'm like, I remember when Ryback tried to bring him up for the shell shock.
Yeah,
too.
I know.
I'm like, oh, fucked up move number two. Way to go, TENZAI.
I know. Well, but, number two.
Well, a major move, anyway.
That we can remember. I mean, I'm sure there's more.
Yeah, that's true. But, no, I really like those guys that said, yeah, you're right. I mean, and Jesus fuck, like, it's okay for the Puerto Rican Mexicans to not fight 3MB.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there's got to be some, I mean.
But they're setting that up, and what I like was Coulter said, we're going to expose you for who you really are.
Yeah,
which was interesting.
Puerto Ricans.
They should go. I'm sorry. They should. The Real Americans should go over on them, because there's no upside to that other act. It's fine. It's a gimmick.
Yeah.
It's whatever. The point is to me though is just that it. Where you go with it? I mean, I don't think.
Oh, they're fucked. They're in the same. They've got the little bull, and that's the Torito is the attraction.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, even the music and the setup and everything's set up for the bull, and. They're Primo and Epico. Yeah. Basically, every once in a while, they would put a little head of steam on Primo and Epico, or Primo and Carlito. You know what I mean? Just to get them going for some little thing. But that's all it is. I mean, it's got no upside, no potential, no merchandising, no marketing,
it's
other
fine.
Than the Bull.
It's fine it where is, it's it fine. Is. But
if they bring Saturday
don't,
morning,
don't have
slam,
them over on Real Americans. Don't just
you
don't.
You bring Saturday morning slam back, and you got regulars. I mean, exactly. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
And it's a tag
but it's
team.
It's a curtain jerker tag team.
Yeah, you know who they can. You know who they can be. And this was what WWF used to do in the 90s. Is every time there was a really heavy angle, like the Boss Man got the shit beat out of him by Nails, or you know something really really big happened. The next match they trugged out was the Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
You know, and that, and this was back at the time where that's like the only time you saw the Bushwhackers was like they didn't do anything. They were fighting fucking Well Done and stuff. And so you only saw them when it came time for Super Happy Fun Time after the really low
angle. You can do that with Sweet Tea and Clay, or you can do that with these guys. Same thing.
That's true too. Yeah, you've got them both now. So,
yeah. So that's fine. Like I say, I do think though. I mean, I'd like to see Sweet Tea and Kenzai. Because they are two tatted up huge men, I'd like to see them turn heel and be pushed as monster heels.
Yeah, I think eventually, especially with if they keep up with this Total Divas show and Total Divas becomes a regular. I mean, I guess you could consider it a success. It's not a flop by any stretch. The ratings and what have you. If they do that, you can have these Funkadactyls, keep to be the Funka fucking Dactyls for God's sakes and be separated from them. And then you can have heel Tensai and Brodus, you know, totally separate from them. And that won't hurt the two of them.
No. And in fact, you can turn them heel to some degree based on treating the Funka Dactyls like shit and yelling at them and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, on the show, Clay's being known to do in real life.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about guys and Axel and Ryback eventually being a team.
How great would they be? And then eventually Ryback turns on him again. Same thing.
Well, did you see Axel's new feud?
Yeah, I did. And I can't remember.
Big E is a baby.
Big E, that's right. Yeah. Big E turns. Yeah, that's right. Big E loses on SmackDown airing tomorrow.
To
Punk. And then Heyman comes out afterwards and goes, congratulations for beating a mediocre talent. Then he and Axel, Ryback and Axel run down, start beating up Punk, and Langston makes the save. So,
yeah.
And I'm fine with him against Axel. But
I think it's great.
I still prefer them to get rid of those two titles, the US and IC, and just have the three titles. But
I am too, but if you're going to keep it around, then you know what? Then there you go.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's a decent enough person to have that belt.
Yeah.
Is Big E, and I think that's fine. You know what I mean? So I like now, too.
I know we're talking about a lot of teams that get together for a little while and then break up. We're talking about the Mega Roads Explode. We're talking about Ryback and Axel. You're talking about, Cesaro and Swagger. But that's okay. Because that's
but
how wrestling's always been.
And every once in a while, that's okay. I mean, you keep – if every team – if this was TNA and every team hated each other, every team turned on each other and turned – no, because you're going to have – you're going to keep the primetime players together. You're going to keep the Usos together. You're going to keep, Brodus and Tenzai, together and keep, whether it's, say, Gabriel and Tyson Kidd or whoever kid's going to go with. I mean, yeah, you keep the Matadors
together. There's no sense.
Together,
yeah,
right?
Obviously, yeah.
And speaking of the Matadors, it's going to be my mission because – I know that music.
Mm-hmm.
Their music, I know that music. That's like early 90s somebody's music.
Really?
Yeah. After the ole, 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 and then the fireworks go off and that music, that's somebody's music. Because I know that. I've heard that before. And it's my mission. I checked with Chico Santana to see if it was his music, if they just used the Matador music. And it's not. But I know I fucking heard that music before. I don't know from who, so that's my mission is to find out.
Is it one of the 4,000 little midget dudes that they had that they brought about there in the late 90s, just before the Attitude Era?
I don't know. No, because maybe it's what is his name, Max Mini?
Yeah, someone like that.
Maybe, but I just I want to say it's even earlier than that. I want to say it's like 1991 music.
I'm trying to think of what Mexican characters they had there.
Well, I don't even know, again, if it's necessarily even Mexican. It would be...
It's Ludwig Borg is what you're saying?
No, it's not the Finnish national anthem. That's what Ludwig Borg came out to.
Are we sure? Are we sure it's not? Are you really that familiar with the Finnish national anthem? Are you? Do you know the words?
I don't know the words. I only know the words to the Russian national anthem.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
Mr. Volkov asked me to rise and respect his singing.
Let's hear it. I can't wait. Of the I will rise right now, put my hand over my heart, and listen to it. Let's go.
Ayo se lo se vitregole stione. And then cue babyface music. That's as far as he got.
That's true. I believe before you go anywhere, I just want to say Russia, number one. Yes. Iran, number one. USA, ha! Boom!
I believe, actually, I'm sorry, the next line, it's Ayo se lo se vitregole stione. Ho! I believe that's how the song goes. Yeah. So, which is good. I didn't know your mom was Russian.
Same for a hockey game. Well, she was. She is. She is.
Yeah. She was. Yeah.
She is. Yeah. Rubles. Yeah. It was just a couple of rubles. All it cost.
Rubles.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a couple of rubles, let me tell you. but yes, Biggie likes it. Speaking of people.
Fucking Wade, dog. Let's go on.
Wade Barrett.
Yes. Bad news there.
Having visa issues. That's why he's not around. I guess it's something about his visa. I think it's just a natural thing. Because I remember him and Sheamus had visa issues a couple years ago. And I think they just have to go back.
I thought it was Drew McIntyre that had it.
Well, maybe Drew. And yeah, and they had to go back and get them renewed. And they were only, they were gone for a couple weeks. So anyway, that's what happened to Wade Barrett. It doesn't sound like it's anything majorly, wrong or weird, but that's the story with Wade Barrett. I did want to, as we skipped around and we're skipping around, but on the tag title win by the Rhodes Scholars.
Because when we're skipping around, I got to get back to HBK when we're done.
All right, HB Shizzle.
Oh, my mistake.
The Rhodes and. What really struck me, and you talked about how Daniel Bryan, you never heard such a low reaction.
Not for months and months.
To him. And again, it just, he's got to.
And I don't know if it's because it was St. Louis and that's where Orton's from, but I just don't think they were that into him.
It's partly, I think, that. Partly is that I think that he really needs to transition. And unfortunately, he's transitioning into the Brie Bella thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where he needs to transition to, he just needs whatever the next thing in Daniel Bryan's wrestling career, not his personal life or whatever this fucking thing, but in his wrestling career, he needs to transition to that because the yes is now what?
Yeah.
And Big Show in a Cody Rhodes versus the Shield match, the Big Show is going yes with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's now, they've taken it, and it's now just a WWF thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a Daniel Bryan thing. They associated with him still, like they do what with Steve Austin, or did with Steve Austin. And then
yeah, but his latest shirt, you respect the beard, doesn't have anything about yes, yes, yes at all in there, does it?
No, but he still, his entrance is the Diego Sanchez entrance, and people do yes.
Oh, yeah, I know they do, but I'm saying they're not necessarily marketing just that.
No, but he has they're not marketing that, but I haven't seen the only thing I've seen out of Daniel Bryan since the yes now in the last little bit is his fucking Brie Bella shit. And that's exactly what it is, it's shit.
Well, they have added a new finisher for him, the Bushida knee, though they haven't given it a name.
No, they haven't given it a name.
You know, another thing is he doesn't have like that HBK warming up the band moment for it, which is what he needs. That
well,
the crowd kind of going, go
yeah,
anticipate.
The problem is he gets in the corner. That would be the yes time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. Have the fingers pointing in the air and going. I mean, the yes is over enough as a wrestling thing that my fiance knows to point her fingers in the air and say yes.
Oh fuck! I mean, it's. You watch TNA, you watch ROH, you know what? Their crowds are saying it.
Our ROH especially, I noticed that this past week, mm-hmm. that there was a lot of yes chants on ROH. Yeah. And on TNA as well. And it's just, again, it's over.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just, but they've done the wrong thing. They've done the completely 180 of what they should, and they should keep that over thing with the one guy to propel him to the top star. Instead, they've diluted it and brought it across the whole company so that everybody's fucking saying yes.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but there's too many people doing it.
Well, I mean, again, you get back to, I mean, you say it's Hunter, but I was just going to, what's his name? When Alberto Del Rio is wrestling Daniel Bryan, he points to the arm, says C. And he did that as well against Damian Sandow when they had their match, right? And looks like they haven't turned Sandow.
Thank God.
The look, though. He wrestled really well as a babyface in that match. He knew how to fire up and when to fire up as a babyface really well, but his persona still is wrong. But
I just want him as a heel. I just think he's not ready. He may be one time, but he's not yet.
Not yet.
And I think a lot of that was the fact that there was an overseas. They were all in like Abu Dhabi or something like that, and so they
had a really good match, man. That was might be his best match.
Well, and as I said, I think I heard, I think it was Vinny that was in it, and I agreed it was it was fresh.
Yeah, it was fresh. It was a fresh match. That's right.
You know, and that was the thing. It's like okay, you know, it's that helped
and
a lot.
Del Rio's work has been really good.
It is, yes. He has, you know, the funny thing is that they haven't overly focused on him and he's flourished.
Exactly.
It's like I'll throw it, I know we're in Canada, so I'll throw it a hockey term here. Theron Fleury. Theron Fleury was great when he was a second fiddle. But as soon as you were trying to build a team around him, sucked. Same with Eric Lindros, actually. Sucked, but when he could bounce off somebody else and not be the center of attention, that's when they had their best seasons, and that's what Del Rio is starting to do. Is he's starting to show it when the main spotlight is off of him, you know, where they had him in some more high profile things, you know, when they were trying to get him babyface going, or you know, about a year ago,
they're
or,
trying you know, too hard.
Yeah, they were trying too hard.
I think you can say the same thing for Sheamus.
Yeah,
you know, when they tried too hard, it didn't take off the way they wanted it to.
Well,
he comes back and is just a baby face, it'll probably take off better.
If the cocksucking motherfucker that Sheamus was that he was Cena light.
Yeah.
And so it was the fact that Cena gets booed and is annoying as fuck, so why would you want another one?
It wasn't as bad as Cena, but he was bad.
I thought he was bad. I thought he was just as bad as Cena, actually. Let me tell you a little story. Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah. But that's exactly it, though. I mean, if they just let him be himself and kind of himself and be a character, he'll get over fine. If they focus on him, the worst thing you can have for any of the wrestling characters is really let the writers try and write the character.
Well, the thing,
go ahead.
The thing with it, well, I was going to say, the thing with Sheamus was is that he was kind of at his peak when he took Hunter out. And Hunter was gone. He could ride that wave, and then it was just, and it was going to be okay because they were going to have their rematch, and Hunter would get his revenge. But then, you know, and I'm surprised because of Hunter's small penis that he didn't do that.
He did get his revenge. Yeah, he did.
Against Sheamus?
Yeah.
When on Raw?
No, fuck. He he lost him at WrestleMania, and then he came back and beat him like 3-4 months later, like two or three times on pay-per-view.
No, it wasn't. Hunter. Sheamus took Hunter out, and then Hunter didn't come back until that no-word stare-down with The Undertaker to set up their first match.
And then it was on Raw. I guarantee you he did.
Oh, I'm sure he does, because he has a small penis. And he has to be... And speaking of which...
Look, even a 747 looks small when it's entering the Grand Canyon.
Yes, the one-man gang. The 747. But and it's entering where? New York airspace? Oh. The thing is, with Hunter's small penis, that's where I was going with this, before you distracted me with tasteless September 11th jokes, is that the end of the Rhodes match.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be the Rhodes brothers standing tall, celebration, babyface wins, go off Raw. Hunter runs into the ring.
Oh, fuck.
Shoves them both like they're fucking Zack Ryder.
Might as well be.
Yeah, and is throwing the fit, and I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you go from, by the way, you go from SmackDown, where they played up this Hunter might have a concussion. They're looking at legal action against the Big Show for what he's done.
That's all so stupid.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's got the knockout punch. Yeah. And this is a deadly move, the weapon of mass destruction, and it causes people to knock people. And so they're looking at, they fired him. So they're looking at legal action. Fine, I know it's stupid, but I can understand that. And that's them putting Big Show over. And then Hunter comes out on Monday. It's like, hey, how's it going?
I'm fine.
What?
Of course he is.
Punch?
What?
Oh, yeah, I took that punch.
And you know, they don't ever let anybody else do that. I mean, for instance, when The Miz gets his thorax broke, he's mm-hmm. injured for months. And when John Cena goes through a light fixture from the Big Show, he's out for years. No, it's just not fucking just Hunter. This is them being having too short a memory because they're stupid.
I'm just pointing out the fact that they were selling it on Friday or on Tuesday for them.
Oh, yeah.
Six days later,
they can't remember anything. 6 minutes later, they can't remember anything. Doesn't help when every 6 minutes Vince is changing his mind.
No, that's right. And that's going to fuck them. Yeah. You know, just, and it's, I don't know. I'm looking at WrestleMania right now, and it's like, what are they going to do to fuck it up is basically what I'm looking at right now.
Again, you know what? One of the things is, based on the reaction I saw to Brian, based on the fact that his stuff with Brie doesn't really help him, based on the fact that all the challengers are set up for Orton and baby faces, I don't even put the belt on him in Hell in a Cell. And that's really, I mean, where it's been building to is for him to finally overcome and be the baby face and get the push. But now John Cena's back, and I just... I mean, I actually wouldn't put the belt on Brian right now.
I would.
I think he'd be better off with the chase right now or something.
No.
I think Orton's the better guy to go with right now. Like, I just...
See, and admittedly, I'm not a Randy Orton fan, but I think you got to put it on the baby face. And a couple things that you've got... if I'm looking at what I do, I mean, they're talking Survivor Series now is Hunter and Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
Is slated for the Survivor Series in November. Oh, probably, of course.
Of course it is.
It's Hunter.
Yeah.
Of course, it's Hunter.
Yeah.
Small penis on a pole match. And it's going to be...
Isn't a small penis a pole?
There you go, see? But the thing is, you don't have... you don't have to have that, because that's the next logical challenger. You've taken the Rhodes brothers out of and Cody out of the short-term Randy Orton picture.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter has the issue with Big Show, so you've taken that away from Orton right now. You've in fact taken really Orton lately. They've separated Orton from Hunter. They haven't come out as him being the guy and them. You know what I mean? Like the three of them. When was the last time the three of them came out together? It's been a few weeks. It's probably been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
At least, like, since, you know. So that's the part where I'm leaning. So to me, it's okay. You can go with Daniel Bryan as the champion. You can – hell, you could – if you want to slap a big gold belt on Cena, go ahead. Do that. But, I mean, it's – other than that, I don't – you know.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not so
sure.
But
again, I'm a big fan of the Survivor Series
team versus team
as well.
I like
team
one title match, and the rest is team versus team.
Well, I think
including
just,
this year, you absolutely should do the tag team. You know, one.
But I think teams of five strive to survive. You could have three
teams
you
of
could,
four.
You could,
I'm fine.
Yeah,
with that, yeah.
But you could do five of those for fuck's sakes. Yep. I don't know that you got enough time, but at least four. If you and they'll throw a Divas one in there because they always do, and then you have a pre-show one, let's say a YouTube one with some of the mid-card guys, and then you've got Hunter and Show as the only singles match.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Cool, love it.
Yeah,
you know. Then
and you know okay. what? If they did that and they put the importance on this, like it is important, like it matters. These matches, guess what? It'll fucking sell.
Well, you got right there. You got Orton and the Shield.
I mean, they've done such a poor job of so many years they've done such a poor job of marketing Survivor Series, but it would sell. If they went back to all that format. I mean, when's the last time that format was just one title match and the rest was tag or, you know, the Survivor Series matches? I mean, we're looking at what, like early 90s?
Maybe. I mean, even in like the Attitude Era, like I want to say like 99 and stuff, they had a few of them.
But not you up know, and you, down the card.
You'd have the occasional singles match or say a three-way match as like your main event, but
it had what, 97? It had what, three singles matches and two of those, I think, or something like that?
Was it three singles? I remember Austin. It was Austin and Owen.
Yeah.
It was Brett and Shawn, obviously.
Yeah.
And then you had the Americans against the Canada.
Yeah. You had the one where The Rock was on a team. Just a newly team.
That was a year earlier.
A newly heel Rock.
Oh, was that
first time I saw the People's Elbow. Might have actually been that match. Nation of Domination versus
did they do a three-way DOA, Nation of
something like that? Yeah,
DOA and Barriquas,
maybe, yeah.
And and then did they have? And then the pre-show I thought was maybe even like the Truth Commission.
Maybe, but I thought they had a tag team title match too.
Who are the tag champions?
Actually,
then?
Probably not, because it was probably Owen and no, it wasn't. I don't know.
Tag team champion.
Either way, 97 wasn't up and down the card. 98 was obviously the tournament.
Yeah, the Deadly Games tournament.
Yeah.
And then you had 99, which was, 99 they had some. Remember, I think it was like
had some.
Deal and the Godfather and things like that. Yeah. There. Oh, 97 was it, the New Age Outlaws were the tag champions. Didn't you have the Outlaws and like the Godwins against LOD and the Headbangers or something elimination one? I bet you when the Headbangers turned to heel and smashed. A ghetto blaster over the head of, I think it was Animal. I remember JR going, well, that ain't no JVC Kaboom Box. I can tell you that much because JVC Kaboom Box was the sponsor.
Mm-hmm. All right, New Age Outlaws and Godwins defeated Headbangers and New Blackjacks.
New Blackjacks, okay.
Truth Commission defeated the Disciples of Apocalypse. Holy fuck, I forgot. The DOA. Team Canada defeated Team USA. Kane defeated Mankind.
Yes, there you go. Okay.
So there was three. So there was three singles matches and four Survivor Series matches.
Okay, so go to 99 then.
Just 1 second. It does have it listed for you so you can get to it. Let me see, as we say, Deadly Games Tournament.
Right, that was...
99. Godfather, D'Lo, and the Headbangers defeated Dudley Boys and Acolytes, Acolyte Protection Agency. Kurt Angle defeats Sean Stasiak. Holy fuck.
Uh-huh.
Val Venus, Mark Henry, Gangrel, and Steve Blackman defeat British Bulldog, Mean Street Posse.
Oh my God.
May Young, Fabulous Moolah, Tori, and Deborah defeat Ivory, Luna, Jacqueline, and Terry Runnels. Remember how we kept on saying this was when wrestling was good?
Yes.
And I'm listening to this. I'm like, holy shit. Kane defeats X-Pac by DQ. Big Show defeats Big Boss Man, Prince Albert, Midian, and Viscera, whatever. China with Miss Kitty defeats Chris Jericho.
Right.
Too Cool and the Hollies defeat Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys.
Okay.
New Age Outlaws defeat Al Snow and Mankind. And Big Show defeat Triple H. So this is majority singles matches. There is
it's Triple H 99. I believe that was Triple H and The Rock.
And The Rock, you're right.
In a three-way, because Austin, that's when Austin got hit by the car.
That's right. So what you have here is 10 matches, 3 Survivor Series matches.
And I tell you, that was around the time when you said that Edge and Christian and the Hardys, that there was talk of them coming and being a stable, the four of them. And the stable was actually set to be called Version 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that died. But yeah, so I mean, they've
there was two of them in 2000. Two Survivor Series matches.
Who's in it?
One of them is the Radicals
against DX.
DX, of course, in this iteration is Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, China, and K-Quick. Of course.
That's right. Ron Killings, the truth, our truth.
Yeah. The Dudley Boys and Hardy plays the Edge and Christian and Right to Censor.
Okay, and the Radicals were Perry Saturn, Eddie Guerrero, and Dean Malenko.
Yes. Yeah, and the rest is, there's a lot of singles. I mean, they also have Steve Blackman, Crash Holly, and Molly Holly defeat TNA and Trish Stratus, but that wasn't a Survivor Series match, so.
Right.
So, I mean, 95 is probably the last time it was up and down the card.
And even.
Because 95 had the main event of Brett against Diesel, right?
That's right, yeah.
But other than that, it was full of Survivor Series matches.
Yes, I remember the King's Court against The Undertaker.
There was only one in, Jesus Christ, this is 2001, there's one.
Yeah, that was the main event.
It was the main event, yeah. Team WWF versus Team Alliance.
The Alliance, yeah.
Awful.
Well, because that Survivor Series was all about unifications. It was U.S. champion
but
against Intercontinental champion.
The poster for Survivor Series 2001 is Lita.
Vince?
No, it's Lita and what's her skank?
Tori Wilson.
Tori Wilson.
Yes, back I to remember back. This poster.
Yes. Yes. Really, feud. Really, not at all.
No. But I do remember that was all about unification matches where the winner would have a job no matter what because they were the champion. And it would be like test against Tajiri, you know.
2000. Like
what were the rest of the matches?
Pardon me? For which year?
What were the rest of the matches?
For which year? Because I've moved on to 2002 here. Because, 2002, I'm not seeing a single one. I mean, 2002 has, it doesn't have any. I mean, Los Guerreros defeat Kurt Angle and Benoit and Edge and Mysterio again, but that's a three-way. I mean, it's a nice card here. You also had Shawn Michaels defeat Triple H, RVD, Booker T, Kane, and Chris Jericho in an Elimination Chamber match. But there isn't a single Survivor Series match at Survivor Series 2002. Not one. So when you talk about the Survivor Series doesn't sell, the concept, well, maybe it's because you fucking gave up on it so long ago. And it's true that it did run its course for a while. But again, it's about learning.
I don't think it ever, to be honest, I don't think it ever did. I remember as a kid going in like 94, 95, and that would be one of the things that I would do in like September after SummerSlam is I'd kind of just from what I could memory, I would be like, okay, who's on the roster and, you know, what four guys can I put together against these four? You know, like what IRS, who could be on IRS's team against Razor Ramon's team?
Yeah.
You know, and okay, you can add Marty Jannetty and 1-2-3 Kid over here. You can add, you know, the head shrinkers.
Well, I think when I say it run a course, it's because, like, if you look at 94, 95, like, the talent roster was really shitty. So the teams were really shitty, so the matches were really shitty. But that's because the product was generally shitty.
Well, so, and the other thing,
you know, when you have Skip versus one team being Skip versus the Skip team versus Barry Horowitz team. Well, guess what? That's shitty wrestling, and of course that's not going to sell.
It wasn't shitty wrestling.
Yeah, it's shitty wrestling. Well, they're actually both good. They're both good wrestlers, but they wouldn't let them.
But that actually in that match they did, and it was like I saw Rad Radford actually do some things.
But the point being, though, of course that's not going to sell. That's not because of the Survivor Series concept. That's because you don't have stars.
Let's not forget that it's also a combination of how many Survivor Series matches were in 92 and 93? I don't think any. 93, I think, was the first year where they didn't have any.
93 was the year where they didn't have any, yeah.
And 92, I don't...
they did.
Oh, was that the Foreign Fanatics against the All-Americans?
Yeah, that one was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was lessened. And so 93, they didn't have any.
93, they didn't have any, but they went back to it in 94 and 95.
They did, yeah. And then they like you said, with
and I don't mind this. I'm looking at 2003. You only had two, but those two were loaded with stars. And I remember these matches and the builds to them. Team Angle versus Team Lesnar.
Oh yes, yes. Right? And that's what John Cena turned babyface.
That's what John Cena turns babyface against Team Bigfoot. It was Lesnar, The Big Show, Matt Morgan, Nathan Jones, and A-Train, right?
Yes,
And over another one, it was Team Bischoff defeating Team Austin, you know?
Yes, and that's where Shawn had that massive, amazing comeback, and Randy Orton finally RKO'd him at the end and pinned him, and Austin had to go away, and it was in Texas, and he gave the big speech about watching stuff at the Sportatorium, and they hadn't completely fucked up firing angles at that point.
They actually meant something.
You know?
And these matches, again, I mean, Team Austin with Shawn Michaels, Rob Van Dam, Booker T, Bubba Ray Dudley, and D-Von versus Jericho, Christian, Randy Orton, Scott Steiner, and Mark Henry. That's a star for 2003. That's star-studded, right? Kurt Angle's team is Angle, Benoit, Cena, Hardcore Holly, and Bradshaw. Okay, it falls off a little bit. You have to even understand where Hardcore Holly is at that point, you know, coming off a title match. Like, he's like these, there's not many, but they actually meant something. Both of them were built well. And that's all I ask. I mean, I'd love it if it was up and down the card, but if it's not going to be up and down the card, make if there's only going to be two, make them actually fucking important. Not like a throwaway. Not like lower end guys. I'm not sure what this even did for pay per view buys, but
well, back in the day though, too, and as I said, when I would go in like 1994, 95, and I would in September start to sketch it all out, like it didn't have to be like when you talk about Lesnar and all these, you know, and it didn't have to be that everybody had to be in the main. That's what they felt they had to do. Is now it has to be everybody in the main event. Is all the main eventers are in one, and then there's other. Then there was another one. Then there was another one. Is what they always thought. But to me, it was like you can have like if this case, I'll just throw out a Survivor Series deal where let's say you had, you know, Daniel Bryan's team against Randy Orton's team, let's say. And you can have Daniel Bryan, and you can have Dolph Ziggler, and you can have, let's say, Dolph Ziggler and the Usos, let's say, on there. And then on the other side, you can have Randy Orton, and Randy Orton, you could actually screw the Usos, well, no, you're going to do a tag one, but let's say you don't do a tag one, you could have the Rhodes there, and then you have Randy Orton and the Shield.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And it's like, that's like Mr. Perfect and all three Demolition, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's your deal. But you could also do the Usos again and have the Shield on the other side as well. I mean, or if you don't want to have tag teams, then you could still plug in these guys and do ones that are just in. You have to create individual feuds, right? I mean, for instance, you could have Punk and Langston on one side and Ryback and Axel on the other.
Yeah, and then you have R-Truth with Punk.
You can have R-Truth with Punk, exactly. And you could have Kofi with Punk.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can have two other guys.
Two of the Wyatts, or it doesn't matter, right?
That's what I'm trying to. If we're going to do a tag one, then you're eliminating your tag teams, which is kind of limiting to you. But I think, you know, it can be done. I mean, I'm trying to think of even two mid-level heels that you could put with it. That's where I would put the Swagger and Cesaro.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, and then you have Dutch and Heyman on the same team. You know,
yeah.
So, but and maybe then you put the Matadors with Punk and
sure.
You know, and
it's easy to do.
It's
a thing.
I'm saying
people would give a shit.
And we just came up with 2 4-on-4s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like you, Kane, Miz, and two other guys against the Wyatts and somebody.
Sure. Kane, Miz, also, Kingston.
No, we already got Kingston.
We didn't. We took him away. Oh, didn't we?
No, that's right. Okay, Kane, Miz, Kingston, and Truth.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Against the Wyatts and who? Somebody, a heel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know. I don't know. Is Mark Henry a heel still? No.
No, but it doesn't matter.
You'll find. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head right now. But you know, there you go, right? So there's options, right? And that's three matches right there. You throw a Diva one, and we said there's still a tag one you can do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's five and a top singles with Hunter and Big Show, and that's you're done.
You're done.
Easy. Yeah. You know, that's not what they're going to do, but it's easy.
No, people care about that. Like, I mean, I know right now Bound for Glory is this weekend. I care more about Bound for Glory, actually, based on the fact that last week's TNA, despite all the problems we're hearing backstage, and then they put on this terrific episode of Impact. And it's like, wow, I actually want to watch Bound for Glory now because that show was so good. And I actually care more about it right now than WWE, probably because I'm not quite as burned out on it. I'm not as burned out on TNA. I don't see as much of it. And, you know, I don't see as many pay-per-views. And because it is one thing we have to say, at least it's no longer WWE light. It continues to not be that. It continues to have a unique look at the backstage and everything. But before we move on, I just got to say the Shawn Michaels thing. I continue to hate this. And I understand it's for to try and increase buys, but ultimately what happens here is you have Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton, Hell in a Cell.
Right? Yes.
And we now have two Hell in a Cells because we have Punk versus Ryback and Heyman.
You know? Which, again, doesn't give you that excuse that – and just before you go with Sean, is I mean, we talk about the Survivor Series and stuff, and it baffles me to no end that – we still haven't had Alberto Del Rio as a heel with the Wyatts. There you go. But it still baffles me to no end in this era where they want gimmicks that, like Survivor Series, along with Royal Rumble, is their oldest gimmick.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they're abandoning it. Why Vince is abandoning his own creation because that's so unlike him. And the fact, like you said, that they've got two Hell in the Cells now. At least, you know, who knows if they'll be another one.
I think it's as simple
one.
As that it doesn't seem inventive enough.
Well, but the fact is that the fact that you've got two Hell in the Cells now doesn't mean that there's no excuse to not do multiple, you know, because that was always, we don't want to do too many and burn this thing out or whatever. Just fucking do it. But anyway, with Shawn Michaels, you continue to hate this.
Yeah, and the reason why is because the opening segment with Shawn and Randy Orton plays it out perfectly. It doesn't – it sets up something I'm never going to get.
Right.
I'm not – you know, it sets up either Shawn versus Triple H, Shawn versus Bryan, or Shawn versus Randy Orton. That ultimately has to be – and you're going to be sitting there in this match. It's going to be Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. And no matter how good the match is or what they're doing to each other, you're not going to pop until you see Shawn Michaels do anything because you're waiting for that spot. And so everything gets built around the guy who's not going to be there around any longer and doesn't actually have a match that's going to happen. The crowd is never going to buy a single near fall until Shawn gets involved in some way. You know, and you're never going to get Randy Orton versus Shawn Michaels. Like, it's not going to happen.
No.
So what's the point of this? There's no I hate this.
Oh,
I really
you
hate
don't
this.
Know the you realistic. You really don't know the point of this.
I hope desperation and getting some pay per view buys.
Well, no, but I mean the storyline television point. You can't see where this is going. Really.
Oh, okay. Where's it going?
Okay. Think about Triple H.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Small penis.
Think about his small penis. Exactly. Who was he the sidekick of? Who was he the shadow man of? Shawn. They're best friends, right? How can he... So
I was going to say Kurt Hennig.
This whole thing leads to Shawn and Hunter having words... Right, because they purposely are keeping Shawn and Hunter apart on television to lead to a big confrontation between the two of them.
That will lead to nothing.
That will lead to Hunter getting the best of this verbal confrontation and Shawn being sent home with Hunter getting the best on television of the guy who is far superior to him in every way. That's what it's for. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just telling you the small penis ego stroking reason that they're doing this.
Oh,
that's what
shit.
It is. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
So that's going to be a lot of buys.
And it's all, you know, it's all done in a PG way.
Yeah.
Did you see the you see the revenue projections, by the way, for speaking of PG, for WWE and their corporate sponsorship?
No, I didn't, no.
The 2008, WWE's corporate sponsorship was like $7
million. Mm-hmm.
And so, and that was when they publicly
5 years ago?
Out, 5 years ago. And that's when they publicly came out and said, we are PG.
Mm-hmm.
We are switched. We are officially, we are PG. We're poopy. We're PG, right? Mm-hmm. This year, $20 million in corporate sponsorship. So
it plays a part. It's not 100% of the correlation, though.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It is. Yeah. Okay, what else is it then?
Inflation.
Inflation, because that's happened in the last 5 years.
No, it's probably as much as anything. I would suggest that it's actually that they actually made a more concerted effort to seek out that type of sponsorship money than before. They increased their rates. All sorts of factors. PG is one of the factors. It's probably
PG's 95% of the
20 to 30% probably.
95.
20 to 30% probably.
Yeah. So 95.
Yeah. Are they making more money than they were before their PG?
I'm talking about the corporate sponsorship money. I'm not talking about the overall product. This corporate sponsorship.
It's 20 to 30%.
Yeah. So moving on from Mo's incorrect business lesson, let's talk about we did it. Yes, yes, the inflation.
Look, I've inflated over the last 5 years.
You did, yes, that is true. God, if WWE profits could soar like your waistline.
Be fucking through the roof.
Yes. Did you, we just finished talking about TNA and Bound for Glory.
Well, let's just run down the card real quick.
Okay, it sucks.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, I thought you wanted to run it down.
Oh. All right, pre-show. Chavo Guerrero, Hernandez, Bad Influence, Eric
right.
Young, Joseph Park versus the Bromans. So this is some sort of, what is it, gauntlet match for the winner will take on the tag team champions of James Storm and Gunner. The segment of the week for me last week in wrestling was and Hulk Hogan. We haven't talked about Hulk Hogan's bullshit. Being the hottest free agent in sports.
Oh, smartest man in wrestling.
I guess we got to go there. But when Bad Influence came out, and Ego was, all of them were great. The Extraordinary Gentlemen's Organization, which is Bad Influence of Robert Roode. Robert Roode was great, too. When they came out to induct him into the Ego Hall of Fame. And,
yes, wearing the suits.
The greatest suits of all time.
The fucking Dumb and Dumber suits.
Yes, it was unbelievable. It was so great. It was so good. Everything about them is great. They're the best act in wrestling.
Well, they are. They were obviously winning this pre-show match.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because there's nobody fucking else.
No.
Well, I mean, how do you have Bound for Glory? They're quote-unquote, and I still think this is bullshit, but they think it's their biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah.
And how you can have them without how you can have that show without Bad Influence, and more importantly, how you can have that show with, like, Eric Young and Joseph Parker, Bromance, or who's the other
Bromance,
fucking...
The Mexicans, yeah. Hernandez.
Yeah.
Chavo.
So, it actually turns out that Hernandez and Chavo, they're from Puerto Rico. But,
actually, wasn't one of the members of LAX from Puerto Rico or something like that when they did that?
Was it from LAX or was it from... Wasn't just LAX just Conan, Hernandez, and Homicide?
Yeah, but Homicide, isn't he Puerto Rican? I'm pretty sure.
He could be. He's from Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Homicide. Yeah.
I guess
I don't know.
It's Latin America Exchange, though.
Yeah, the Latin American Exchange. That's right.
They did do something else that they did bring in somebody else from who was supposed to be Mexican who wasn't.
Anarchia or whatever. Yeah, remember that the guy that was trying to be Chavo before they got Chavo?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so also on the card here, ODB versus Gail Kim versus Brooke.
Right. Sorry about that.
Well, no, I mean, Gail Kim is the Bret Hart of women's wrestling in North America.
Yeah.
So it'll probably actually be a fairly decent match, and you have to wait for, what's her name, their new big monster heel chick.
The chick, the barbarian's niece or whatever.
Saya Tossa or something like that.
So,
you'll be waiting for her to show up, obviously.
Gail Kim, the female version, current female version of Bret Hart. How often does she get screwed?
Just when she's in Montreal.
Ah, okay. No, it's not true. Bret Hart was getting... See, that was the funny part about the Montreal screw job, is that Bret Hart had been using that term screwed for, like, a year.
That's true.
You screw me. Everybody screws me. Da-da-da-da. Like, he was just using that for, like, the year. So it was so great.
Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode. Kurt Angle returned to TV this last week. Really good. Looked big. So whatever...
He looked really good?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He killed Kazarian.
Okay, yeah, he killed Kazarian. That's not what I meant. I mean, physically, like, he...
Oh, yeah, no, he's been taking his steroids, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you're... I guess he's wrestling clean, because he's supposed to be... I mean, he went in for alcohol, was his dependency. But we've known man has been doing PEDs before.
Pain pills.
Wasn't actually what he went in for. He went in for alcohol.
I know, and he didn't get any, so he left.
Apparently. He does look good. He looks better. He looks healthier. Huge, though. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, if he is off alcohol and painkillers, I guess steroids doesn't count because he is just
huge. I know. But that should be a great match. I mean,
oh, it should be terrific.
I mean, I heard people talking about how Kurt hadn't been in the ring for a while, but
doesn't
I mean, that's like riding a bike for him. And because
Angle. It's bound for glory.
And he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's going to be great. If it's not, it should be 4.5.
Yeah, I would think so.
It
yeah.
should be tremendous.
I think so.
Sting versus Magnus. I kind of like this. Magnus hasn't fully turned heel. He'll obviously be the heel in the match against Sting. But I think Magnus is... He should go over on Sting here. I mean, that's the only logical thing, is to give the young guy the win over Sting here. We don't know how long Sting's going to be with the company, but I think that you have to look at this as, like, the build is pretty good. The tension between them feels, it's well done. There's a logical storyline here of Magnus wanting to prove that he's at that level of these, you know, main event mafia guys who put him in their group and that are all former world champions and everything, you know, him and Angle and Samoa Joe, that he wants to be seen as being equal to them. But in order to do it, he doesn't have that big win under his belt yet. So it's a good, it's a nice storyline, and you know, I mean, hopefully it'd probably be a fair match. Magnus is a fairly good worker. Sting will try his best. It'll probably be like a 2.5 star match. Not horrible, but not great. But I hope Magnus gets the win.
Also, Magnus confirmed on Twitter, no longer fucking Mickey James.
Oh, was he fucking Mickey James?
He was. Yeah, he's 26. She's 34.
But yeah, when she was like 28, she was with like 19-year-old Kenny Dykstra there. Kenny Dome.
She likes him. Yep. She likes him young.
Yeah. So I got no shot.
No. Now
too
you
bad because almost I thought I did the whole time.
I know you did. I know you thought you did.
Anyways, this next match should also be tremendous.
This next match is scheduled for one fall.
Mm-hmm. With a 20-minute time limit.
Yes. Currently in the ring,
Manic, the champion for the X Division, an Ultimate X match.
I lied. This match is not scheduled for one fall.
No, it's not actually. The thing about this is Manic is a good worker, but he's obviously the guy who's out of place here because you have Austin Aries, Chris Sabin, Jeff Hardy, and Samoa Joe, who I can't wait to see on those wires, trying to get But this match should be unbelievable. I mean, Ultimate X match is usually very exciting. These guys are great workers. It's bound for glory. This should also be a 4-star-plus match. Go ahead.
I would say there's two things that I look in this match. The first is I am really looking forward to seeing Joe... under 230 pounds. And the second is, I like the fact that this is just like all X Division matches now is just like this mano-a-mano, one-on-one, you know.
It's It's Ultimate X. Fuck off.
They've had one-on-one Ultimate X. Remember they had...
They did have one or two, yeah. They were
Kendrick
good.
Against Douglas Williams when he was afraid of heights?
Yes, yes. Not very good. No, this should be excellent. I'm loving Chris Sabin's heel character. Like, because his girlfriend is Velvet Sky. And she has this thing where she bends over and shakes her ass at the audience before she gets in the ring. And as soon as she goes to do it, he takes off his jacket, covers her up so nobody can look at her ass. And she goes to the ropes and she like opens her arms so you can look at her tits, and he covers her up there. And it's just hilarious. He gets the heel persona that he's doing here. I find Saban entertaining here.
Oh, Saban, I mean, you could finally someone that's actually watched Randy Savage.
Well, yeah.
You know, and it's like that's if you're going to do that kind of deal, that's what you do. How long it's going to last, I don't know, but I am really liking Saban's heel. I hope he goes over here. I really like, I mean, Mannix useless.
Mannix, you got to get the belt off him. I could see Aries with it. I mean, I could see any of these guys with it. I would actually give it to Hardy here. But, and that way I think you could push the X Division title to being defended. Well, you could actually do it with any of these guys as being defended as a main event of an event. Any of these guys except for Mannix.
Well, everybody but Mannix is a former TNA champion.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that in itself actually gives a little bit more meaning to this X Division match. The best thing you could do, really, I mean, would have been to knock Mannix out tonight. You know, and then it's just, because it really is, one of these things is not like the other.
No, it's true.
You know, so.
But he's the champion, so.
Well, that's the problem, you know what I mean? But it's Ultimate X.
Yeah.
So if you knock him out of the match, it doesn't fucking matter because the belt's going to get hung up and whoever gets it gets it, right?
That's true. And then he just gets a shot at whoever wins it. But that's not what they did on the...
No.
But so anyway. James Storm and Gunner against likely bad influence, the tremendous Daniels and Kazarian. And James Storm and Gunner, since the tag titles when they were under Daniels and Kazarian and they were going against Aries and Rude and even Chavo and Hernandez had a little bit of momentum. Since Storm and Gunner have got them, it's died. A lot of that, the Storm hasn't really been able to wrestle because of his health.
I was going to say, when have they really defended it?
Not
I mean,
often.
It hasn't been a lot. I mean, they've defended, I think, against the Mexicans was their sacrifice or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But other than that, and Storm's gone off, according to TMZ, to Hollywood to shop around this reality show about his life.
Really?
That he, all about his quote-unquote life, about, like drinking, partying, and whatever, being a cowboy.
And raising a kid?
Yeah, I guess, yes, he does have a kid, right?
Yeah. At least in storyline it was. I mean, I presume it's his life.
I would assume that was his real
kid. Yeah, I think so. I would think you put the belt back on bad influence here.
Yeah. Now, I would fucking hope so.
Yeah. I would think, like you said, ODB retains, Angle wins, Magnus hopefully wins. I think Jeff Hardy wins, but it could be anybody. Could be anybody there. I think Bad Influence wins, and that gets us to the title match, which should be 3 and 3.5 stars. You know, James Storm and Gunner will probably be 3, 3.25. Main event should be about 3.5 stars. Of Bully Ray versus AJ Styles.
Well, wait a minute. Now we haven't seen Impact yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my understanding that AJ Styles does not sign the contract for this match. And he will sign the contract for the match after the match is over and he wins.
Really?
I need to see this. Because that sounds fucking retarded.
Well, it's TNA.
I know, but the rest of the card seems... This is your main event.
We'll see how much of an angle this is. We'll see if Hogan shows up at this. He's being advertised still. It looks like there's a good chance he's re-signed, but not 100%.
Now's the part where I say, yeah, but this is TNA.
That's right.
I will look up. I also want to look at Kurt Angle going in the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
right? I believe they probably show a video package, and then they'll just have him out.
Yes, that's Rude.
To do this.
Well, Rude will cut a promo then, and then, yeah.
I see now.
The pre-show on Spike is going to show the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Right. Now, I'm thinking that when they show the thing, who should come out to interrupt, or not interrupt, but in response to Kurt Angle's Hall of Fame thing. But a real superstar.
Jeff Jarrett?
A classy man, a man that is of the utmost quality. EC3.
Oh, Ethan, yeah.
Ethan Carter III.
Yeah.
What's his name? Derek Bateman.
Derek Bateman.
Who, by the way, has since
we talk about Cena and the guys at the top of the card could certainly get away with the really expensive growth hormones. He looks like he's benefited from going from TNA from his physique.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Where there's no testing at all.
No, and I think his. But I did like his vignette. I thought, okay, this is interesting. Yeah. But it also seems to me like, you know, they're either gonna push him as something for a while. But I mean, to me, he just ends up with the bromance.
Could be. The thing about him is he has the gimmick that Eric Bischoff's kid should have had. That,
yeah,
you know. So I mean, we'll see how well it turns out.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, then you got AJ and Bully, and you're right.
I don't see them doing an angle at the Hall of Fame, but well, who knows? WWE doesn't do an angle at the Hall of Fame, so I don't think they will.
They're just a little bit different, though. I mean, I don't think that they do an angle at the Hall of Fame. I think that they show the Hall of Fame thing, EC3 comes out right after into the ring and does something, right?
That's possible. I mean,
so who knows? Yeah. You know, do they give him a big plaque that that he can smash over Dick Clark's head?
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. But yeah, so that's,
AJ obviously wins the title here.
Assuming the match happens, yeah.
Yeah, it'll happen. Well, who the fuck knows, actually. So,
but let's, AJ was, now, here's my, I told you earlier that we had a Twitter question. I didn't write down who this was from, though, so I apologize. The handle or whatnot, but I just grabbed it really quick, because we're running around today and doing our normal prep.
Well,
but I did write
it. Well, you did something. You're of course, as we've been talking about, your house for sale happened there.
I'll move.
But I understand today the papers were signed and you had to let everybody know. Tell the story.
The papers were signed. This was back and forth and it was this one sort of up and down roller coaster where it's been going on for weeks, it seems now. And so now it's fucking finally all finalized and done. And so we're into this. And so I finally, 3 o'clock, I was like texting and emailing and talking on the phone pretty much at the same time to get this done. Finally got it done. So I called my fiance to say, hey, to tell her the good news that we were finally done and we'll be moving. And so to tell her, she says, yes, what's, I never call her because we just text. And then I talk to her on when she gets here. But I never actually call her on the phone hardly. So she was weird. She's like, why are you calling me? And the only thing I said to her was, you won the house. I even shook my head like Todd Pettengill.
Awesome. Look that up on YouTube. Todd Pettengill, you won the house. Just look it up. It's amazing. It's like the greatest segment ever. WWE gave away a house back in the 90s at an In Your House. And the people who they called and he told that to hadn't ordered the pay-per-view. So it was,
we're watching the pay-per-view.
So embarrassing. The other really good thing is while you were telling that story, I was scratching my balls.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. That's a good thing?
For me, it is.
Okay. Yes. So anyway, so now that's the story, and pretty soon that's why we'll have to figure some stuff out, because I got about we may even just do this at the palatial Tostito encrusted studio of
House Mo. Well, look around it; it's clean. Look, it's fine. You can come here.
Right? Wow. Do you have to get special plumbing to put 3 fridges in a row like that?
Go fuck yourself. No.
No. But to splice it, fucker. But
I am ordering Bound for Glory. You are invited. I don't know if you will be able to make it. Show producer, your lovely fiance, is also certainly invited if she'd care to come. She could just hang out with the dog if she doesn't want to watch wrestling. Or if the wrestling sucks, we could just watch a movie. I went and bought Pacific Ring 3D.
I saw that in the theater. Speaking of the Truth Commission earlier, Kurgan in it.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, he doesn't have a major role, but it's enough that he's on it a couple times. Where I'm like, hey, that's Kurgan.
I like it.
The producer's like, geez, is wrestling in everything? I'm like, yeah. If not, I will find it.
Addie's not lying. Everything he can turn into a wrestling reference. It's fucking crazy.
It's one of the things she loves most about me.
Oh, yeah, I bet it's right at the top.
Yeah.
What the hell were we doing here? Anyway,
Twitter question that we had. We're just talking about TNA, and it's what would you do if you were TNA or / WWE, and you were these three people? You were Hulk, you were AJ, and you were Sting, and it's basically saying like. The question is basically like, what would you do if you were these three people, and is that feasible? Like, I'll give you an example. If I'm Hulk Hogan, at this point, I go back to WWE.
Yeah. First off, I just want to say while you're asking that, scratching my balls again.
Right. Okay. I saw you grab the tweezers. So.
It says balls, not my dick.
Oh, sorry. They'll move.
That's why I grabbed the lice comb.
Yes.
Stop it, bro.
If I'm Hulk Hogan, I go back to WWE. And I'm WWE.
We're not asking what TNA should do. We're asking what the guys should do.
Well, the fucking TNA will take all of them. And I think that's to clarify. Because he's asking, what would you do if you're WWE? TNA will take all these fuckers.
Yeah.
If they could. I think the ball is really.
We're not answering what WWE would do. We're answering what the guys would do, right?
Well, what the guys would do, and would WWE take them? Basically,
TNA, WWE, and of course, there's the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week. He was at a charity event with Hunter. Do you want to tell the story, real quick?
Well, yeah, he was at a charity event with Hunter, and Hunter saw him, gave him a big hug, and said that the door is always open for him to come back.
Bullshit of the week.
Well, I mean, let's look at it this way. I mean, again, it's one of the things. Look, let's look at last time when Hogan came back last time with the. I don't think it was last time. I think it was the Shawn Michaels return when he came back. The Shawn Michaels return.
Sorry, there's still bullshit going on here. I haven't cleaned up yet.
It was, yeah.
That was it.
Oh, no. It was a Randy Orton return.
Yeah.
Everybody, all three of the four McMahons, Linda, Stephanie, and Shane, and Hunter, they were all against it. Vince overruled them all and brought Hogan back.
Yeah, the three of them were against it. Vince thought it was best for business.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, comparative.
Yeah.
But, and so that's where now you're getting to the point where, you know, Hunter doesn't like, I mean, I remember Hunter and remember that it was, that match was, or that show was Hogan and Orton, and then DX had returned. And DX was like doing everything in their power to get a bigger pop than Hogan.
Oh, I remember that. Yes. And
they came out on the tank, and they didn't.
Yeah.
They came out on the tank. They just were going nuts. They were trying to, yeah. And they
everything.
Did.
They were desperate. Yeah. And they couldn't.
And so, like I said, I don't know
which
that it's...
Which killed Hunter.
I just think...
Well, it killed Sean, too, but it really killed Hunter.
The thing with it is... let's look at it this way. Is it that, like, right now, WWE is not offering Hogan the money that TNA is.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you how much they want him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can come back for... Whatever.
WrestleMania, but you're not going to get paid what we've seen guys that we've brought in as special retractions the last few years get paid.
Well, not even that. It's just,
oh, but it is that. They're not going to pay him what they would offer Austin if he came back. They're not going to pay him what they offered Lesnar
Well, they're going to give him a Legends deal.
Yeah, they're not even going to give him what they would give Floyd, what they gave Floyd Mayweather or anything like that. Like,
no, they would give him what they give. They give him what they give Hillbilly Jim, for fuck's sake.
Well, they give him more than that because he would get a portion of the pay per views. But he probably. Well, I mean, I doubt he even gets what Bret Hart got to Russell.
No. Vince. It's not. This isn't a. No, this is the thing. Is like they're not giving him any. He's not getting in the ring with them. Like that's not the deal. That's what I'm saying. It's like they would offer him a Legends deal, the ambassador shit that they were going to give Flair before he got hammered every time. It would be that would be what they're going to give him if, and that's going to be for less money than TNA. He would get, you know, if he does do if he inducts Randy Savage, his best friend of the end, you know, into the Hall of Fame, about, right? Yeah. Then okay, that would he would get a little bit more money to do that, right, for the appearance or whatever, right?
He would still have an appearance at WrestleMania.
He would get a little bit of money. Yes, he would, but not a regular. He would not get as regularly amount of money that TNA is offering him.
That tells you how much. I mean, if he shows up and his role is to punch, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who they have as a giant who's intimidating. Who's a heel? There isn't anybody. But, you know, I mean, like he showed up and punched out Khali in the last time we saw him in WWE. It was on a old school Raw or something like that, right? It was like.
Yeah, wasn't it that Khali had the stare down with Hornswoggle and then Hogan came out?
Yeah, and punched him. And,
wasn't
and
that the deal?
He
yeah.
was going to body slam him, but I think he just ended up punching him and knocking him out of the ring.
Yeah.
And that's all it would have to be. And that's enough to make the crowd pop. And if they advertise as something like that, he's going to be in the ring and he's going to be in the ring with the Miz, but somebody's saying I'm going to interrupt that. It doesn't have to be a match, and it just has to be him punching a guy a couple times.
You know what?
And for that, he would get more than a Legends deal.
Hulk Hogan on Miz,
Hulk
Hogan on Miz TV or Hulk Hogan. Yeah, that's probably actually the best bet for him. That's perfect. I love it. I would book that in a heartbeat.
And you know what? That's actually good for pay-per-view buys. Some people would actually care about that if that was his first appearance. And you know, he'd make a little bit of money, but not a crazy amount. It'd be reasonable. It'd be reasonable for both sides. And yeah, my opinion is the same thing. Is if I'm Hulk Hogan, I take less money. And I know he has his expenses. I know he owes a shitload for his son and everything. The fact is TNA scorched earth and it doesn't mean anything. Go back to the WWE, set up your legacy. Think of all the endorsements that you'll be able to get as part of WWE if you're their ambassador and you're out there and your visibility is increased and you're on their television. Think about all the possibilities it opens up outside of wrestling, outside of TNA, outside of WWE that you'd have an opportunity for. Plus, it's just a legacy. It's time. It's WrestleMania 30. It's all of it. Of course, he should go back. Yeah. I would do it in a second.
We just talked about $20 million in licensing.
Yeah,
right. I mean,
what does Hogan get? 8,
right. No, but I'm just saying that opens up the doors to these toy lines and to this and to that and to, for Hogan. So I mean,
and that when they scan a Tyson Kidd doll, it'll say Hulk Hogan and he'll get
say
paid.
Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Exactly. This is perfect. Mm-hmm. This is perfect, brother.
Just like it did with Jericho and his doll in WCW.
I got the perfect angle for you because you keep Cesaro and Swagger heels, right? Miz TV with Hulk Hogan. Zeb Coulter coming out saying, you're a real American. You're not a real American. You're just like these people that come sneaking across our border, blah, 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 and you're not a real American. This man right here, Antonio Cesaro, he's a real American because Cesaro will be able to be athletically enough to get up for Hogan to get that body slam done. And Hogan could body slam Cesaro because Cesaro will take it. So there you go, done.
Because it's not that big. He's not nearly as big as Swagger. I mean,
but he can get up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Better,
and you know what?
On Hogan,
for sure.
Lighter.
And I guarantee you, if you said to Cesaro, you're not going to have a match at WrestleMania, but you're going to interact with Hulk Hogan and he's going to body slam you, he'd be like, fucking do it. It would be an honor. It would be a goddamn honor.
Yeah. That's So
it's like at the European tour when Bret Hart was in all these tag matches, all the guys were coming up to him saying, "Can you put the sharpshooter on me? Can I be the one to lose to you to the sharpshooter? Because it's an honor." Yeah. You know, the guys like Cody Rhodes and Dolph Ziggler, all these guys wanted to do that, and it's the same thing with Hulk Hogan. So
No, that's right. Yeah, they were guys were arguing in the back as to who was going to take the sharpshooter.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that's the thing. So yeah, I mean that is what
you know who wasn't Hunter.
He took the sharpshooter from Owen once. Remember Owen at WrestleMania? He messed up his hair and he thought to himself, he's like, "You're ribbing me at WrestleMania? Me?" Or something.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was awesome. That was his tribute
that
to
was
him.
His tribute to after Owen died.
Jesus.
What a fucker.
What a fuck. But you know that Owen messing up Hunter's hair is like the United States government going after Vince McMahon for steroids.
It is. It's
it equivalent. It really is. It's equivalent. It is the equivalent.
Anyways, fucking
but
idiots.
Okay, so next on the list is AJ Styles. This is the complete opposite.
Yeah, he should stay with TNA. Because he's you know what? I mean, okay. Would he have a chance to go over to WWE and work and be in a tag team with Evan Bourne or Tyson Kidd or Justin Gabriel and be a really exciting tag team and reach the level of whatever their tag teams can reach right now? Yes. Yeah. Or you can be the legacy guy of TNA. And at least when it's all said and done, you'll be the legacy guy of TNA.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's all. And quite frankly, he's going to make a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, of course he is. I'd love to see him in WWE because it'd be interesting to see him in a fresh place. And he's still, I think, at 36, young enough that he could go over there and do something. And him against Daniel Bryan would be awesome. But since I'm not going to see that anyway, that's selfishly what I want to see. Logically, for him, you stick with TNA.
Yeah, I mean, because WWE, I mean, A, they've never been big on TNA guys. And you know, and if they did sort of change their thing, their tune, I mean, all he's going to be is a little bit of a job boy because, I mean, it turns, you know, as much as they're talking about how Vince doesn't care about TNA, that was sort of the word. I guess now it's kind of coming out that that's actually the complete opposite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Vince is very aware and does not want anybody there. He's pretty much, he's aware of it and it wants to. I think he's at the point now where he could see that they're weak, mm-hmm. and he kind of wants to put the kibosh
on. So he actually wants AJ.
Well, I don't know that he wants AJ, but I think that where I had heard it sort of stemming from was that he definitely doesn't want Jim Ross there.
Mm.
You know, and as much as, you know, it was like he doesn't give a fuck what Jim Ross does now, he definitely does not want Jim Ross in TNA. I don't know if it stems over to the, you know, to go the other way with like we'll take TNA we'll take AJ from you just to, you know, to fuck with you but I mean if that was the case they would take all three of these guys, Hogan, AJ and Sting, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that AJ's going to be much better off just to stick with TNA and be that guy, and if the, you know, why not? He's made a lot of money with that company.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he's made a lot of money, so it's just a matter.
Look, there's guys that I would love to see them in TNA or in WWE from TNA. I mean, I'd love to see Bobby Roode there, you know, and I'd love to see Samoa Joe there. Magnus, I think, would be a nice fit there.
Yeah.
And then there's guys
James Storm,
again, I still put him in the tag team division, but I think he'd be great in that division. I mean.
If he wasn't so fucking old, I'd love to see Bad Influence in there.
I know, absolutely. As a team, but I still think.
But he's 43, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Christopher Daniels is
41
or
whatever he is. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but it's too bad because they would get over big time.
Yeah. They would for sure
if they were allowed to do what they're doing in TNA. They'd get over big time there. But I mean, there are guys I'd love to see. So, but AJ's not really at the top of that list. No.
Okay, so let's go over to the last guy, Sting.
Oh, fucking go to TN or go to WWE. It's not even a question. Look, you're going to go over there. You get your ass in gym. You have one match. You release a DVD. You go in the Hall of Fame. You complete your career. You make a salute to a lot of the fans who have not followed you to TNA that would love to see you in WWE. There are old fans of yours or either WCW who come back to WWE to see you or WWE fans who watch WCW like myself. These guys are – well, I guess I watch TNA too. But still, I mean, this is – you absolutely go. You have that one match. You get over. You be in shape. And, you make a lot of money doing it. And it's funny because you're talking about how they're going to fuck up WrestleMania. And then you think to yourself, well, man, if they can get Hogan to make an appearance on a Miz TV, they can get Goldberg back in, which they're definitely pushing for now.
I think, yeah, that to me is pretty much – yeah, that's the match that they've kind of got set in their minds right now.
Ryback and Goldberg. Now they acknowledge it. They're definitely so. There's Goldberg is being pushed in the video game and everything. So you got Goldberg in there. And you got Sting in there. It's all old WCW guys, but you know what? It works one time. You can do it. You haven't done it yet. Get it done. If you're Sting, you do it because there's no reason not to go there. They're PG. They're a safer product than WWE and. Just do it.
Yeah.
Make your fans happy. And don't you want to know if you could have succeeded in being a huge star just one night on that stage, on the biggest and best company?
What I do with Sting is a little bit different than him and Taker one
I didn't
time.
Say that. I just said one big match.
I give him two big matches. And that's – I give him – Yes, WrestleMania against The Undertaker, okay? And then the match ends, of course, obviously Taker wins, and you do the handshake, right, the mutual respect, raise the hands, the mutual respect thing. And then you...
Ultimate Warriors music hits?
You fast forward later, a couple months later, in July, let's say, and Sting makes an appearance, let's say. Sting just makes an appearance. Please welcome WWE Hall of Famer Sting. And Sting makes an appearance. And I don't even know quite who. Maybe you have the Wyatt family at this point beat them down. Or somebody that's – keep a heel team strong. You know what I mean? Beat them down. Beat Sting down. And do it. You know what? And Sting comes back and says, "You know what? There's two of you. There's one of me. This just isn't fair. So I got myself a partner." That's where you cue the Ultimate Warriors music, and you do Sting and Warrior at SummerSlam against, let's say, the Wyatt. The two Wyatts.
I kind of like that, except for I'd go in a slightly different direction. I know what you're saying, but I go, if you're gonna go Sting versus Undertaker, that's fine, or whoever. I actually think Sting Undertaker for this angle. And then I turn around. I have the Wyatts beat him down. And then I have him go, there's three of you. I need two brothers of my own. And you bring out the Brothers of Destruction. I think that's much better. I don't think you let Warrior.
The only reason I bring Warrior back at
Can you imagine Sting, Warrior, and Rowan, Eric Rowan in the
ring? Yeah, well, the match is shit. But it's going to have interest. And the thing is that to me then in August, that's Warrior doing his thing, and that transitions to next year's Hall of Fame, where you have Warrior go in next year's Hall of Fame. So I'm just kind of doing, you got Sting and ducks him even. Sting this year, though, Warrior next year. You know, you're just, again, we're talking about burning.
Sting and Warrior are so close, because Sting, Warrior's just such a nice guy. Yeah. Everybody fucking loves him.
I know, right? Owen loves him. Mm-hmm. So is Jim Powers going to induct?
I was going to say OJ there, Orlando Jordan.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Well, we know what Quirin does.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, no. Darren Young inducts him. Oh, that's a book of book that shit now. But fuck. Yeah, I mean, you could do a Brothers of Destruction thing. I mean, that's.
But I agree. You know what? This would draw. I mean, that's it. And when you keep them as special attractions, you do it just a couple times, it would draw. So that's what it's all about. And for Sting, it's
special. And then you got Sting, you can have Goldberg, you can have Hogan, you can have Lesnar. I mean, and you can have some other guys.
And then the year after that, you bring back The Rock again.
Yeah, you bring back The Rock the year after that. You bring back – ooh, that's the thing. WrestleMania now is about who you can bring back.
Yeah.
Who can we bring back that will draw?
Yeah.
You know, because nobody else can.
Yeah. And at this point, Shawn Michaels isn't, but who knows, 18 months from now.
Who knows? You know, Steve Austin still. You know, he's talking to him, but I mean
– 18 months from now, who knows?
I want to mention my favorite show, my favorite WWE show of the week generally.
The Vintage. The new and improved Vintage.
I was going to say it got a facelift, and it was Steve Austin was a spotlighted this episode of the new facelifted Vintage, which had matches like WCW, you know, winning the TV title, winning the tag titles, him and Pillman against Shane Douglas and Ricky Steamboat. You know, it had portions of the video game interview with Austin CM Punk, which was awesome. Had some stuff from Austin's DVD, which just it was just such a slickly done presentation. You know, had some ECW against him against Mikey Whipwreck.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, so it was not.
I forgot how bad the finish of that match where he won the TV title from Beautiful Bobby was.
Oh yeah, with fucking what's her name, Sunshine or whatever,
Miss Blossom.
Yeah.
I thought it was
Blossom, Lady Blossom,
Lady Blossom, yeah.
Lady Blossom, just come in the ring and like grab his eyeballs for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah, I just loved how it was like whatever it was, 1991, and like he was like overweight and had a mullet and was still beautiful, Bobby.
Yeah, I know.
And a baby face.
And a baby face. But he was a hell of a worker even then.
Oh, fuck yeah. And I hope, you know, best wishes out to him. I haven't heard how he had some health issues. Yeah, so haven't heard anything in a while, which hopefully is good news, right? Yeah. So health issues as well. Bray Wyatt's hurt a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt himself, so he it looked like the match that they were going to do at Heck in the Sec there with him and the Miz may now become like the Wyatts against Miz and Kane.
Okay.
It may be the match that they do now.
Depending on how his ankle heals.
Yeah, and I think maybe – well, I think it's going to be touch or go, and so they were kind of precautionary going to do it. Because how many weeks they got? 2 weeks or something?
A couple weeks, I think, yeah.
What
it's,
is
it's
it?
Coming up pretty quick.
It's like the 26th or something, maybe? 27th?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, day before my birthday.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know what that means is for my birthday, you cannot come over. I don't have to see you. That'd be the best gift ever.
You know what I'm going to be doing on the day before your birthday, actually?
Going to Harlan Williams? I'm going to Harlan Williams the night before.
Oh, moo.
Oh.
I didn't
see it coming.
Instead of going to Harlan Williams, I can help you move, and you can help me move, and I can just talk into my hand.
I can help you move like Jagger.
Is that Harlan? Oh, no, you can't. Is that Harlan Williams?
What I love is you guys didn't see his face. He was so offended when I said that in his response. What the fuck are you talking about?
If you could
do that, you don't think I would have already asked you?
Yeah. Yeah, jeez.
Oh, awesome. All right, what other quick hit items we got?
I think that might be it.
What about Jim Ross? He buried the shit out of the company.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it. Did you see him and Shane O'Mac?
Yeah,
both were in
New York.
In New York, so they just got together. No, just to shoot down rumors, because somehow this got on some of those like really shitty internet sites, internet wrestling sites. That
So it was on the PW Torch?
Yeah, it was on the Torch. That Jim Ross and Shane McMahon were talking about buying TNA.
Oh, fuck.
Not the case. Yeah. Hey, you know what? A little-known trivia note. Jim Ross's wife. You heard about Jim Ross's wife? She's the best. I love her. She went to high school with your doppelganger, Mark Madden. It's true.
I hate you.
What? She's a lovely lady.
Anyways.
But, let's see here. It's Jim Ross essentially at this point is now under just a Legends deal.
Mm-hmm.
And his company still has a deal to sell the barbecue sauce
for now.
WWE shop, right? But he, what did he say here? He said, I'm excited to be meeting new people with fresh ideas who generally want to work with me in a relationship based on honesty, respect, and professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
So that takes out WWE or TNA.
Yeah. And he's definitely going to do an autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to do some speaking tours, too.
I hope he comes here.
Yeah, I hope. That would be awesome. And you know what? It's not on the realm of possibility,
I know.
Because he's a smart smart fucker. So you know that Calgary is a wrestling town, right? So I'm trying to think here. I'm just reading a little. I'm reading a write-up here, and it says, Ross and wife Jan, who did meet when she was a flight attendant. Oh, I love that story.
Ric Flair was looking rough that day.
Yeah. Let's see here. With the overall lack of main event depth in the WWE these days, now would be a perfect time to get someone on a roll, attempt to get them hot, and see if that individual can connect with the audience. One can always audible out of it, but this matter can't be determined in a couple of weeks, no matter how sage-like some feel. They may in determining such. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process that is largely determined by the live audience's reaction over time. All sports or entertainment fans want to support the stars, and the stars have similar traits. They win more than they lose.
Oh, that one's a key, isn't it?
Yes. Fucking they're idiots. Somehow eventually overcome when the odds are greatest against them, and they never quit.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
50-50 booking.
It's simple.
50-50 booking helps no one.
Exactly. It's simple. God, I wish he could take control of TNA.
I know, right? Those trying to reinvent the booking wheel and who refuse to simply ignore basic psychology and human emotions are foolish or naive or gasped, egomaniacal.
Or currently in charge of WWE.
Yeah. Box office receipts and pay-per-view numbers should convince anyone who professes that the fine line between good and evil need not exist. Here's the thing about creating matches and booking in 2013. There's a model in place for 2013. You know what it is? It's what works in 2013.
Which is probably what worked in 2003 or 1983. Yeah.
There have been two monster events this year. Both featured a strong babyface and an even stronger heel. In one case, the babyface had never lost, ever. Granted, you can't consistently do that in pro wrestling, and the value of wins and losses has been diluted, but that's when they do things and decide to protect new acts like the Shield and the Wyatts. They have them unbeaten for months. Instead of building those streaks to a major match, they've given away their first loss on television matches that are forgotten days later.
Mm-hmm.
The only other streak they have is The Undertaker. Which is the single biggest thing to this day they have this year in Ryback.
And I wonder why.
Yeah, I know. And Ryback last year, which led to a shockingly big pay-per-view number showing that the model still works. The other giant pay-per-view number of this year, the babyface lost so rare that those losses were part of his growth as a personality. And even those losses, in one case, the heel was a genius and a lot of the money made based on his portrayal on television and a public that wanted to see him lose. Yeah. That's basically, yeah.
Basically, without saying it, he's saying, you're a bunch of fucking idiots.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great.
Oh, Ross also met up with Court Bauer.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's, it basically just says you guys are fucking retarded.
Yeah, and he's right.
He is extremely right, and it's just...
But I love the tag team division.
Hot and heavy here in the World Wrestling Federation. But I just think, you know, it's... The tag teams are you know, they're gearing up tag teams. I'm looking at it, and like I said, if we're at the point where they can have a tag team thing, and that's, you know,
gear up the tag team, set up a few matches for WrestleMania, bring back some nostalgia acts, I'm good. I can't wait till Royal Rumble. Hopefully you can also make Survivor Series interesting.
Well, that's the whole thing, is now we're just in kind of wait and see. Hell in the Cell and TLC will be there. And the Survivor Series hopefully will be better than there, but it may just be there. But the reality is we're 4 months away from it amping up again, and that 4 months is going to be here before we know it. And they aren't... I mean, there's things that suck, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, like, Hunter's on TV, and so that sucks.
Yes.
And you know, and Stephanie's on TV, and that sucks. Yes. And I did like the fact that the announcers finally did tie in the angle, because I was watching it with the Big Show punching out the Shield, that he was doing that as a repayment for having to knock out Dusty.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I missed that. Right? I missed that. I was too busy listening to JBL go, "Who is Xavier Woods?"
And oh, yeah.
Michael Cole eventually saying, "Well, you're the... you know, the GM of NXT, and he's one of your wrestlers."
He's like, "Xavier Woods? Seriously?"
Yeah, and then his answer,
"What kind of name
well,
is
he'll
that?
Be lucky if he Who still be that? Down there then." I'm like, wow, that's how they're getting Xavier Woods over. Good fucking job.
I know, right? The Big Show's new tag team partner.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But, I mean...
Old consequences creed from TNA.
Yeah. Which, I mean, and that was just a cup of coffee that Consequences Creed had.
Yeah, he wasn't there long.
He's been with WWE longer than he's been with TNA.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and but I just, hey, you know, I mean, I did like Truth and Consequences. I thought that was a good, and hell.
You could do that again.
I was going to say, you could do it again, you know?
Absolutely.
Just Consequences Woods or Xavier the Consequence Woods or something, you know what I mean? Just give him that name, and then you got our truth, and you can have Truth and Consequences.
How about our Woods?
They could be. They could be from the Truth and Consequences. They can hail from New Mexico.
There you go.
See, but I think that, you know, it should be here before we know it. My big hope now is, and again, if you go in cycles with this, or build succession to it, I think the next thing you look at is, okay, you build the tag team division. Right, as they're doing, you just get it. It's almost there. You know,
it's about there.
I would say 75 to 80% there. You need a couple more teams.
Yeah,
right. A couple more regular.
You just need
deals.
To continue it to the point where people are used to the teams and think they're important.
WrestleMania and beyond, keeping it and adding a couple in there would be great. And then post WrestleMania, what I'd like to see them do once they get that done, like take care of that. Once they get that done, though, I'd really like to see the focus on the Intercontinental title.
I wouldn't. I'd like to see the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title go away. And I'd like to see the focus on the three titles, the top two. I'd like to see the world treated as the Intercontinental, meaning it's important.
Okay.
And the tag titles. And
if you want to do that, then yeah, you could do a unification deal with the, like, do a three-way or something with the three of them.
I wouldn't even do that. I'd do it as simple as, we're going to take this away. We're going to have one more match. It's going to be the top contender defending the top, top contender for the IC belt defending against his number one contender. After this match is over, the winner of this match, while stripped of this title, will get a title shot next week of Raw against the WWE champion. And then you do the same thing for the American U.S. belt, and the winner of that gets the shot at the world title.
I think you just do a unification. To me, that's better. I don't like the fact that it's like, hey, we're getting rid of this piece of shit.
I do.
I just,
because that's honest.
It is, but I mean, unifying it tells you the same thing, and it just gives it a little more of a succinct deal. But
yeah, you could have one guy going, I'm going to clean this shit up. I'm going after all of them. He goes after those ones. He goes after the U.S. belt. And he's like, if Curtis Axel goes after the U.S. belt, he gets that. Or the other way around, actually. Probably Ambrose goes after the IC belt, gets it. He's like, it's now the IC U.S. belt. And he's like, I'm going after the next one. I go after the world. He goes after the world. He gets that. Then he's like, okay, I'm going after the WWE one now. I'm going to unify all of them. There's going to be only one champion. He doesn't get it. But that match would have interest because he would have won a couple belts building into it.
Yeah.
Picking 101.
Yeah,
a
that
guy
would be
in
a
winning
good...
streak who people think, hey, fuck, maybe they are going to do this.
Yeah, that would be a good SummerSlam. That would be a good SummerSlam match if you've got Daniel Bryan over there with the belt,
mm-hmm.
you know, winning the belt, having the WWF title, and you've got Dean and defending it against guys, and then you have Dean Ambrose in the meantime
cleaning up
unifying
the
all the cleaning up
and
unifying
saying he's
going to
unify all four,
and saying Daniel Bryan, I'm coming for you. Oh,
sucker.
Maybe not, but sucker. But I think that would be a great match. And as I said, yeah. You got enough time to do it. And that's again SummerSlam. You have that, and then you have the interest of the Blade Runner's return. Then you're great.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. All right, I got one last question. Harry Hogan sent us this, and it's a quick one. But sent us this email here, and he's asking us, who do we think is more attractive, Dixie Carter or Stephanie McMahon?
Ah. I think Harry Hogan.
That's possible, yeah. Yeah. Who's more attractive? Stephanie
It depends on what you're looking for. I mean, like, Dixie's clearly dumber.
Did you see her? She came out in TNA last week. Like I say, we're recording this as the last show's going on. She cuts this promo in the opening 15 minutes saying things like, I'm the greatest wrestling promoter of all time. I don't need a Mrs. Stephanie Levesque to teach me what's good. And I'm like, see, when you do that type of shit, that's what fails. When you get that inside and think you're being clever, and instead you're going over people's heads or not being clever because you're trying too hard, that's what fails. Anyways, go on.
I
don't know that she's stupid. Stephanie's fucking stupid.
No, Stephanie's, I think, more in a bubble.
Oh,
but
they're both in a bubble.
Well, they are, but I think Stephanie more so. Like, she's been a bubble longer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So just used to the bubble. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. I know it's kind of tough. Actually, I was thinking about it. I'm kind of like, well, you know what? If you did an F Mary kill and you got rid of the kill and it was just an F or Mary, you'd marry Dixie. You'd fuck Stephanie, right? And preferably afterwards, you could kill them both, just like Jimmy Snuka.
I don't know. I think I might marry Stephanie.
Really?
Well, look what Hunter's getting to do.
Yeah, but look, wow. What do you think, what's his name? What's Dixie's husband again?
Surge?
Yeah, what do you think Surge gets to do? You don't think that guy's got the fucking life?
No, I just meant in terms of, but he does, what does he get to do? I just meant in wrestling.
Oh, well, who gives a shit about that? Surge could if he wanted to, probably. He got to knock out AJ.
Yeah, but what is there to do? I mean, at least in WWE, you could say do some more developmental.
I suppose if you want.
You know
that.
What I mean? You could do everything we were talking
about
for the.
How about this? At the end of the day, like I say, Stephanie looks like the better fuck, but overall, you'd rather. I mean, generally, I got to say, I think Dixie's more attractive. Man, Stefatney, and it's not just because she's fat, though she is Stefatney. Man, it's that look. It's that strong jawed. Evil witch look that you go, you know you're going to get that in real life. That ain't just acting.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. I missed part of it because I was on the other line. The kettle called, wanted me to let you know that you're black. Yeah. Yeah, probably Dixie because it's more natural.
It's okay because I'm a guy.
It's more natural.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Stephanie's very natural.
No, I mean Dixie.
Oh, Dixie. No, that's true.
Yeah.
More natural. All right. So, anyways, with that, we're OU.
They call her the natural. Natural as can be.
She's still a woman.
Was that?
A woman to me.
Oh, I see. They were singing Kofi's new music.
Oh. She's a woman?
No, the William Regal, or the Stephen Regal.
Oh, how did that go? How did that go for Kofi? Don't.
I don't remember, but
he's a man. She's a woman.
Oh, you know what it is? He's a man, a Jamaican.
A real.
Real Jamaican.
From Ghana.
Yes.
All right, let's get the, like I said, we're OUT. Let's do this. Let's get out of here.
All right, so let's go
Button this shit out of me. I don't know what the hell she wants.
I don't know. Let's go WeTalkWrestling.com. That's a great website where you can get all the shows. You can get, we're at WeTalkWrestling on the Twitter. Facebook.com.
Use your Twitter machine to get a hold of us through that.
Use the Twitter machine. Also, yeah, on iTunes and Stitcher, download, leave some feedback. We had some lots of good iTunes activity actually this week, so in the past week. So we thank everybody for that. But spread the word, keep it up on Facebook as well. You can also, if you get on there, you can share the thing and spread the word, which a few people have done, and we really appreciate that as well to let more people hear me put Mo in place. So that's good. Which, you know, and once you get them in place, man, try to move them. It's, I'm trying to think, Addy, you'll move? Addy, ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com is the email address as well for us. So that's going to do it for yet another week, unless we are able to watch Bound for Glory. I know you're going to watch Bound for Glory. I we'll see what I can do. I have a nephew's christening that I have to go to, and I don't know what it's going to turn into later on in the day. I'm actually calling it the baby burning because I got to spray the water on the top of the head. But I don't know what's going to happen for the rest of that day. But maybe, just maybe, I'll grace you with my presence.
Hey, can all start at an hour late and catch up?
That's true. That's true. So there you go.
Or mustard,
so,
whatever you want to do.
Yeah, relish. I relish that idea. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's going to do it for yet another week. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, Addy. Remember when we said we were going to do a quick show? It's like 2 hours plus, man. What happened?
Shut the fuck up.